Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area occupied by the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. Hello and welcome to Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking to mitigate reckless and destructive development. This program aims to increase your ecological intelligence, to encourage you to think globally and act locally, and to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. I'm speaking with Sandy Stride, Executive Director of the Center for Climate Change Management at Mohawk College. Welcome to Earth Matters, Sandy. And one of the reasons I want to talk to you about is that there's an upcoming session called the Cities in Action. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to find out what it is that drives conferences like this, that local communities and local cities can feel that they can make an impact on such a large issue as climate change. So the question is, why are you having this conference?
The main reason we're having this conference is because time is running out for us as a, you know, I don't want to be doomsday here, but I think most of your audience is aware of the predictions that have been made most recently, for example, by the International Panel on Climate Change, that we really have to keep the global average temperature rise to under 1.5 degrees Celsius. And the way we'll do that is by cutting back on burning fossil fuels and cutting back on the greenhouse gas emissions from that process. And we really only have, at this point, 11 years, they're estimating, to avoid hitting that tipping point where we'll have basically runaway climate change. So that's the bad news. But we hear a lot of the bad news. And our goal for this summit is to really let people know that, you know what, there is some good news here. There is hope, and there is action being taken. And as long as we're taking action to the best of our abilities, there is hope to avoid these sort of, I guess, the most catastrophic or the direst impacts of climate change. So this is about hope. This is why, you know, the conference is called Cities in Action, and then our tagline is Hope in Action, because we really believe there is hope. There is hope in as long as we're taking action.
Now, you've broken it down into different days. It's a four-day conference. There's the first day, the overall theme is climate and economy. The second day is energy and community. The third day is transportation and health. And then you have a youth summit. We'll talk about
the youth
summit in a little bit, because that's very interesting. But let's dial it back to day one, day two, climate and the economy. Who are you bringing on to speak, and who is your expected audience for that?
Okay, so there is actually another day involved as well, just the evening before, but I can talk about that after if you like. Mm-hmm. So day one, climate and the economy. So as you can probably expect, we're anticipating that a lot of our audience will be businesses and industry, and as well as government, other organizations. There's going to be quite a mix of people, but you know, the focus really is on the economy and the fact that, you know, action on climate change really can be driving and is starting to drive our economic growth. So that's kind of the overall thinking behind the day. And our first keynote speaker of the day is Glenn Hodgson, who is with the Canada's Ecofiscal Commission. And Glenn is the former chief economist for the Conference Board of Canada. He is very well respected, writes in the Globe and Mail and a number of publications on a regular basis on the topic of climate change and the economy and the relationship there. So, you know, he'll be talking about, you know, the importance of putting a price on carbon and the economic impacts of climate change from both the risk point of view and the negative point of view, but also the opportunities in terms of potential investments in renewable energies and other green technologies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and we also have other speakers. We have other sort of sub-themes for the day. Another one is climate innovation. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be very interesting as well. We have a couple of speakers from Mohawk College to talk about our net zero building and to talk about building technologies overall and how you build, whether it be residential or commercial or industrial buildings that can be net zero, that can, that dramatically reduce their energy consumption. Because when you take a look at the source of greenhouse gas emissions that are contributing to climate change, it is a huge portion of it actually comes from buildings.
Right.
And if we can, if we can reduce that, then we can have an impact. We're also going to be talking on that day about the circular economy, and our keynote speaker to lead us into that section is the head sustainability person for IKEA Canada. And so that's going to be a very interesting segment as well.
Right.
So overall, the course of the day is, what can we be doing from an economic point of view to address climate change, and what are some of the opportunities, the economic opportunities being presented by climate change?
Right, right. That's a very good way of approaching it, rather than, as you say, doom and gloom. The fear factor obviously isn't having an impact. It gets people excited, but then it's so big that people can't grasp it and they just sort of shut down. And one of the other sessions you have on the first day is called Communication and Changing Behavior. And I think that's essential, obviously, from my point of view, that we need to communicate, but we need to communicate in a way that's non-threatening and encouraging. And obviously that leads to changing behavior. So that sounds like a very exciting first day. The second day is energy and community. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the speakers and what we can expect on that day?
Certainly. So this is going to be another extremely interesting day. And as you can tell by the theme, community and energy, or energy in the community, we're really going to be bringing the message, a lot of the message of the day, to the very local or regional level. So just to back up a little bit, the Center for Climate Change Management that is putting this conference together is really a collaboration between Mohawk College, the City of Hamilton, the City of Burlington, and Sustainable Hamilton Burlington. And this team, this is called the Bay Area Climate Change Office. We've also invited the McMaster Center for Climate Change to join us in putting on this summit. And one of the big emphasis for the Bay Area Climate Change Office, which is all part of this center, which is the cities and Mohawk College, is to develop a climate action plan for the region. So we call the Bay Area, which is the City of Burlington and the City of Hamilton, around the tip of Lake Ontario, and or Burlington Bay. And so what we're doing is by joining forces together, we're taking advantage of synergies, of sharing knowledge, and of bringing people together to collaborate to come up with a really strong action plan for the region. And we're going to be talking a lot about it on this second day of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So we've recruited the Bay Area Climate Change Council, which is a group of 14 people from across the region who are representing a wide variety of organizations, from the conservation authorities to the chambers of commerce, the economic development, to the Hamilton Health Sciences, and even the United Way. So we know that climate change is not just an environmental issue, it's very much a social and economic issue as well. So we've brought all of these people together to look at what the needs are, where the opportunities are, and to create a really strong action plan. So we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be introducing the council to attendees at the second day of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the speakers, the keynote in the morning, is from Sustainability Solutions Group, which is a consulting organization that we brought on that conducted a greenhouse gas inventory of the Hamilton and Burlington area, the whole Bay Area. And he will be talking about where what the key sources of greenhouse gas emissions are and what some of the things that we can be doing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and ultimately, hopefully, get to a point where in this area we're carbon neutral. I mean, that will be a ways off, but the target is in line with the International Panel of Climate Change recommendations that we strive for 45% reduction by 2030 and 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by the middle of the century. And so we've brought together this council and putting together a plan to really try to help achieve that.
And I'm going to jump in at this point and congratulate you for some of the speakers that you've got. You've mentioned some already, but you've invited the Canadian Minister of Climate Change, McKenna, and you've also got people from the Pembina Institute, which is well known in North America, Toronto Green Bond, TD Bank. You know, you've really reached out and you're bringing in high net worth speakers that really know what they're talking about, and not just in a local level, but on a larger global level as well. So good for you that you're not just looking at what's being done local, but also broadening it out a little bit and saying, well, these people have connections right across the country, right across the continent, and they're bringing that expertise to say, perhaps this is what you're doing in Seattle, this is what's happening in Calgary, this is what's happening in Nova Scotia, so that the audience can understand that things have been tried and are successful and to be copied and emulated. So
thank you, yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yes, you've hit the nail on the head. And we really want people to see that there is action being taken all around the world and across the country. We've brought some of the best, most knowledgeable people together that we can. But we really are driving local action by, building on success stories from all over the place.
Right. So let's move on to day three, transportation and health. And obviously those are very important issues as well. You've got people from the local cities, you say Hamilton and Burlington, and it makes sense because they actually face each other across the bay. So there needs to be that shared responsibility and shared action. So you've brought in people from transportation services in Burlington and from Hamilton as well. And I imagine they're going to hear from each other as well. They may communicate once in a while, but by sitting on a panel, you're going to hear what the guy down the street is doing or what the guy in the next county is doing. So that's an excellent way of bringing those people together. What are we going to hear in the form of transportation and health? What do you expect on day three?
Well, actually, day three, it's interesting. It's being planned by a collaborative group that is comprised of people from both cities right off the bat. And because there is a Bay Area transportation, this originally in other years has been held as the Bay Area Transportation Forum. That's been a standalone event. And this year we've brought it in to be part of the overall climate change summit. And so we are going to be hearing a lot about the interconnectedness between the two cities and the fact that, a lot of the transportation, a lot of the trips that are being taken are actually between the two cities, where people live in Burlington and work in Hamilton and vice versa. And, we talked about earlier with one of the other days, the fact that buildings are a key source of greenhouse gas emissions. Well, the other key source is transportation. And it's very crucial that we take a look at ways of changing the way that we get around. And a lot of this conference is going to be talking about, let's call it mobility. And it's not just a matter of, highways and traveling in automobiles, but it's a matter of getting people out of cars. And how can we create more connected communities where we're really promoting active transportation, where people get out and take transit more, they cycle more, and they're walking more. And there are a lot of implications around this. It's the way our cities are planned, the way our new areas are planned, and also retrofitting some of our existing streets to be able to accommodate bike lanes and more pedestrian friendly streams. But it's also about regional connectivity as well, going even beyond the Bay Area and connecting with, you know, with the Greater Toronto Area, the and even up to, you know, Waterloo, Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph areas as well. So we're going to be talking a lot about connectivity, but it's health as well. And, you know, when we talk about the getting people out of cars, the interesting thing and the most powerful thing about this is that when people are driving less and taking transit more and doing more active transportation, there are very strong health impacts here as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we know that a lot of our healthcare costs are going into are really going into taking care of people who are, to a large degree, suffering the ill effects of, you know, the pollutants that are coming, the small particles, the nanoparticles in the air that are emitted from, you know, the tailgates of the trucks going through the cities and cars. So health is intrinsically linked to transportation, and those connections are going to be a big part of the conversation.
Excellent.
On that day.
Excellent. I've been telling people for years that a good transportation policy is really a health policy, not to mention, you know, getting people to walk or take alternative forms or bike is going to fight the obesity problem that we're facing as well.
Absolutely. Obesity and diabetes and mental health. And you know, this is something that is becoming more and more talked about these days, is the relationship between climate change and mental health impacts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the other reason we wanted to have a very positive conference here. The summit is about letting people know that, yes, let's take action. There's a lot of, you know, positive that we can all do together on a local basis and have an impact on the larger world around us as well.
Right. So day four is a youth summit. Tell us about mm-hmm. that. I'm probably a little too old to attend the Youth Summit, but I'm encouraged.
Hey, I'm encouraged. Everybody's to see welcome.
I'm encouraged to see things like Greta Thunberg and the Sunrise Movement and et cetera, mm-hmm. that the younger generation is not sitting down and throwing their hands up and saying, well, it's too big for us. We can't deal with it. We don't have any power. They are, in fact, taking the bull by the horns, and I'm hoping that there will be some good discussions on day four with the Youth Summit. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, there definitely will. So so the Youth Summit is geared to, well, youth, obviously. We've got some secondary school students coming, and we know that there are a lot of students that have registered from Mohawk and from McMaster and elsewhere. And this is going to be a very interactive day. And some of the topics involve, you know, well, first of all, you know, what are the local impacts that we can expect from climate change in this area? What can we expect? And then things like, you know, looking ahead, green jobs. What do we do if we, you know, for students, the youth that want to pursue a career or in sustainability or some aspect of helping to solve this climate change issue, how do we find these green jobs and what do we have to do to prepare for them? There's also going to be sessions on things like, how can I make a difference in my local community? So how do you advocate with local politicians to help inform policy? There'll be a workshop on that. There'll be a workshop on how do you engage your circle of influence, your friends, your contacts, and really talk about climate change in a positive way and try to encourage action that way. So the whole day is very much focused on topics that are particularly relevant to youth, to young people, and as they look forward in, you know, pursuing a career or even just becoming more active in their own community and in their own home.
So let's turn the topic towards you. You've been involved with your organization for a while. Before that, you were with Sustainable Hamilton Burlington. So what's your driving motivation? Why are you doing these things?
Well, that's an interesting question. Really, ever since I was a teenager, I've been just very passionate about the environment. And I always, that's what's been driving me, is I really want to make a difference. So I have a degree in environmental science. It's actually in physical geography and biology, which it was called back in the days when I graduated. Mm-hmm. And I also have a Master of Business Administration, because I realized after I did my undergraduate degree and went out into the workforce and became an environmental planner, that if we didn't get the business community on side and understanding that they have to be responsible for their environmental impacts and to really take action, and that it was good for business, if we didn't get that message across, then we're not really going to make any progress. So that was many years ago. But that's why then I decided to get a business degree and learn about business, to be able to talk to business and to help drive change from within. So over the years, I've been a marketing consultant, a business strategy and sustainability consultant. And then when I moved to the Hamilton area in 2009, I got to know a little bit about what was going on here, and was very impressed by the fact that there was a very strong environmental movement, but nobody was talking, that I could see at the time, nobody was really talking to businesses about the opportunity to bring sustainability, sustainable practices that can really help drive their businesses to be more profitable, as well as helping the community and helping the environment. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started Sustainable Hamilton Burlington as a nonprofit social enterprise and launched it in 2011, and worked there as the CEO up until 2017 when I left and came to Mohawk College. And the reason I came to Mohawk is, I had experience. I had launched 3 businesses, including the nonprofit up till that point. I had, the background, and I understand climate change and sustainability, as well as business and running a business. So I was brought in to help launch the brand new Center for Climate Change Management. Mohawk had just, created this collaboration or helped to solidify this collaboration with the cities and my former organization, and gotten some significant funding from the province of Ontario at the time. And so I came on board really to launch it. So it's been quite exciting. And interestingly, the over the course of the summit is going to be my last week here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be retiring, and there's a new person going to be taking over for me, Kate Flynn, and she currently heads up campus sustainability and is going to be the acting executive director of the Center for Climate Change as of the 1st of April.
But something tells me that you're not just hanging up your hat. You're going to be involved in one way or another. from your vantage point, do you feel that we are at a tipping point or close to a tipping point? Is it on the lips of enough people to make a difference?
Almost. Mm-hmm. I would say almost. Well, although you have a couple of questions there. So are we at a tipping point? We're very close to a tipping point. Again, not to dwell on the bad news side of this story, but I'm quite alarmed, actually, by the rate of change that I'm seeing. Because, I've been studying this for quite some time, and I'm not surprised to see some of the impacts globally and even locally that we're seeing. But there are feedback mechanisms in place that are taking place right now, like the melting of the Arctic ice, for example, and what that's doing for our climate overall. So, we're getting pretty close to a tipping point. So I would say, too, that just over the last couple of years, this is something that is more on people's minds. Mm-hmm. And but what we're trying to, I think the key is that people have to realize that even in their own homes, in their own everyday lives, they can make a difference, and they have to do what they can do, because it all in aggregate does help. And it has to start with us as individuals. So I'm encouraged by the fact that we're talking about it more, it's in the media more. I'm a little dismayed when I hear people denying it from time to time, but I try not to spend a lot of time there, because I think there are enough people that believe and that this is human caused, largely, and there is something we can do about it, and that's where I choose to put my efforts.
Right. Well, we don't need to convince 100% of the people. We just need to convince enough people to take action. And as you alluded to, it's a mindset. It's a feeling that every day you go out and somewhere in the back of your mind, you're asking yourself, is this the right thing to do? Is this the best thing to do? Is this the best thing for the planet to do? Or what have I learned from previous experience that says, you know, we could be doing this better? So that's why I'm encouraged to see local organizations like yours dig in, reach out to a larger group of experts to bring into the community and say, yes, you can make a difference one step at a time, one business at a time. You said at the very top that time is running out, so we can't dilly-dally too much longer. But I think if enough people have that mindset of we need to do something better, we need to make a change, then the change is going to come. Any last words for anybody that might be listening that either A, has been banging their head against the wall for years, or B, is new, young, getting into the field and to try not to be too discouraged?
Sure. If I may, there's actually something else I just quickly like to touch on too, and that is one thing we haven't talked about is the Monday night, March 25th, before the full days of the summit begin. On the Monday evening, we've actually got a fantastic kickoff event that's being held at the Royal Botanical Gardens, and it's free. It's open to the public, and we're getting a good response to it. We've brought in a speaker from Sweden who is the former deputy mayor of a town called Växjö that is reputed to be the greenest city in Europe. They're on track to become carbon neutral by, I believe it's 2030. And she also heads up the European branch of a global organization that works with municipalities to help them become more sustainable. So Osha, her name is going to be talking about the great things that are happening in Europe and learning that we can be applying here. And that's going to be a really great event as well. And in terms of maybe some parting thoughts, I'd like people to realize that, you know, it doesn't have to be the really big showy actions. You don't have to be, even though it would be good, I mean, you don't have to be putting solar panels on your roof. You don't have to be driving an electric car. These things are all great, but there's so much you can be doing on a day-to-day, almost hour-by-hour basis. And as you said, it's a mindset. And one of the biggest things is think about how you're spending your money. Think about how whenever you're purchasing something, first of all, ask yourself, do you really need it? Because we're just, you know, our consumer society here, we're producing so much in the way of goods that aren't necessary and that are really draining our resources and adding to our greenhouse gas emissions. But, you know, and if you've got two products that you're looking at on a shelf and, you know, they're both as effective and, you know, price is much the same. If you go with the one that you know is produced by a company that is very responsible and is making a commitment to reduce their environmental impact, then you're speaking with your wallet, you're speaking with your money, and you'd be amazed at the impact that you can have that way. And, you know, when you can walk and take a bus instead of driving, and just be conscious of the little things you do. You know, it's about not just reduce, reuse, recycle, but it's about rethink, reduce, reuse, and recycle. And I think if everyone starts to think that way, we're going to be making an even bigger impact than we can imagine.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Sandy Stride, Executive Director of Center for Climate Change Management at Mohawk College, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lawson.